On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Well, field way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God! Down the sideline! Wow! Touchdown!
Unbelievable!
Trying to finish it.
It's over!
Here's a chance. That call. Shot rebound. Score!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Tall Can Sports number 332, only on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. My name is Matt Robinson, along with you. Going to be joined in just a second by my usual co-host here, Rob Christie, and a special guest, the voice of the Ottawa Red Blacks. It's AJ Jakubek from TSN 1200. We're going to be joined by him in just a second. Just wanted to tee this up a little bit. If it sounds kind of like we're jumping into the middle of a conversation here, that's because we kind of are. AJ was super generous with his time, came into the TCA studios here in Ottawa to hang out, maybe have a couple of local craft pints, as we are wont to do now and then on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. And as we got to talking, as those of you who have been around for a while will remember, AJ, a frequent traveler. And last time he was on, he was just wrapping up a European road trip, and he's just wrapping up another one. And so we had a fair bit to ask him about that. We wanted to talk to him a little bit about his travels, wanted to talk a little bit about some of the best places he had seen in Europe to see a sporting event, maybe some of the best European beers, maybe some of the hottest looking European women. Of course, we had to talk about that just a little bit. And of course, just some of the history of some of what he's seen. For those of us who spend all our time here in North America and maybe haven't ventured too far outside of, you know, where we were born, there's a lot of things you just don't understand in terms of the history of Europe and some of the buildings you've seen and the age of them and some of the wars that have been, some of the wars that have been fought over there have left some of these cities irreparably changed. And if you've spent as much time as AJ traveling around that part of the world, you come home with some stories to tell. And so when we got into that, we didn't want to cut it short. We didn't want it to be just kind of this throwaway intro to the Tall Can Sports podcast. And so we've saved it. And that's going to be a future episode of Audio Whiplash. And if I were you, I would look for that probably sometime in early July, where, you know, Rob and I disappear for a little while and, you know, take a little bit of vacation from the podcast, but we don't tell you we're doing it. See, we have new shows, we have new content, stuff like that, that we've put away. And maybe this will be something like that. And maybe you'll remember this as I'm sitting here talking to you now. You'll remember that sort of hint, that sort of nudge, nudge, wink, wink. And you'll be sitting there listening to AJ talk about some of his travels through Europe and some of what he's seen and some of these new beers that he's tried and some of the hot European women that he's seen and things like that. And you'll be like, this is great new content on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. I can't believe they always have that. And then you'll remember this, where Matt was like, hey, maybe this was recorded a little while ago. That's sort of how that's going to go, okay? We're going to save that for a little bit later. It's going to come out probably early July. I think you're going to love it. There's some really interesting stuff. I can't wait for you to hear. AJ, always an interesting guy when you want to talk to him about sports, or in this case, stuff that wasn't quite sports. So that will appear on a future episode of Audio Whiplash, and that's sort of why when we drop into the conversation here, it's going to feel like you're sort of in the middle of things. I'm not introducing AJ because I introduced him a little earlier, right on the, you know, before we got into the travel talk and stuff. So it's Matt Robinson, that's me, Rob Christie, your usual co-host, and AJ Jakubek of TSN 1200 sitting around. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the controversy that's circling around Team USA and how they ran up the score, you know, in their first match of the Women's World Cup. I don't think people are so mad about that as much as they are about some of the celebrations. We'll dig into that a little bit. We wanted to talk some CFL, but our time with AJ was limited. And so a lot of the conversation does circle around the Ottawa Redblacks, which is fine because that's where Rob and I find, you know, our favorite team in the Canadian Football League. But AJ does delve into some of the moves that were made across the league, make some predictions in terms of, you know, how things are going to shake loose as we approach the playoffs and move through the season. You know, he's a guy who's been around the league for a long time and he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's looking for. And I found this to be a really interesting look at the league. And he was not afraid to go up against some of his colleagues, right? Up against other people who cover this league and say, no, you're wrong about how this Ottawa team is going to play out. And he's done that before and he's been correct. So, you know, we were super excited to have AJ in studio here in the TCA studios. Really kind of him to join us. Really kind of him to be so generous with his time. We were excited to have him. We're going to drop in here in just a second with AJ Jakubek from TSN 1200, the voice of the Ottawa Redblacks, only on the Tall Can Sports Podcast on the Tall Can Audio Podcast Network. So welcome back to Tall Can Sports. We're really excited to have AJ Jakubek of TSN 1200 here. Of course, the voice of the Ottawa Redblacks. We're going to get to some CFL talk here in just a second. But before we do, the Women's World Cup is underway. A little bit of controversy, maybe a little bit more than a little bit, has jumped up after the American women laid a pounding on the Thai ladies. I think it was, what, 13-0 final?
13-0, yep.
I don't know how many people take real issue with the score, although some people clearly did. The big controversy seems to be around the idea of how much some of the American women were celebrating. Now, this isn't uncommon for some of us in Canada. We've heard this sort of thing around the World Juniors before in hockey, running the score up versus how much do you celebrate, these sorts of things. AJ, certainly a guy who's got his... I don't know. He's into the international soccer game probably a little more than Rob and I are.
Well, AJ also the voice of the Fury.
Of course.
Right? Yeah. So we're worth noting that soccer head over here. Yes.
What did you take away from it? The score and maybe the celebrations and the reaction to it.
So I'm going to go in two parts here and you're probably not going to expect
why we bring
the
you
second
on.
Part. So the first part of it is, so the score, I don't think anyone has a problem with them. No. Running up the score because it
differential. Yeah.
Yep. Here's the reality. You're in a World Cup. This is the biggest blowout in the history of the World Cup. And the problem with the women's game is, look, you've got a lot of countries that are pretty decent now, like, and getting better. England's getting better. You see teams like Argentina and Italy that, you know, maybe haven't been as good on the women's side. They're starting to improve. So, you know, the women's game is only going to get better, but you probably wouldn't see a 13-0 game at a men's World Cup. I mean,
right. No.
You know, maybe 8-0. I mean, sure. Of course, we saw 8-1 Honduras and Canada.
We saw
7-1
Germany
against Brazil. But those kind of games are...
What about Germany 13 San Marino, I believe?
Well, San Marino's like 50,000 people,
okay,
right? I mean, in an actual World Cup. I'm not talking about
friendlies
qualifying. So... But you know what? Here's the thing. In a World Cup where goal difference matters, I understand it. I also understand, look, you don't want to develop bad habits. You want to play, right? Yep. I also understand that there's players there that are there for their first World Cup, and if they score a goal, it's a big deal.
They're going to be
whether
excited.
It's a 1-0 game or a 13-0 game.
Yeah.
It matters. So, and these aren't players. Yeah, there's professional leagues, but you know they're not making the kind of money that you know is available on the men's side. So this is a big deal for these players. This is the kind of peak of a 4-year cycle.
Yeah.
So I understand all that. I like seeing the Rapinoe celebration when she's a captain at 9-0 and doing the excessiveness that she's done? No, I don't love it, but I also think that some of the outrage is way over the top. Yeah. And I'm going to tie this in with Kevin Durant and the booing.
Yep.
And or the cheering, I should say. And it's like, look, some people were dumb. They cheered an injury. You know, they came back and basically, you know, started chanting KD, whatever. But here's the thing that's kind of annoyed me in the last few days, and I'm as patriotic as they come. I love this country. I love Canada. I love Canadians. I'm proud to be in Canada. I think it's the best place to live outside of the winter, of course, especially the winter that we had. But there, I don't know if there's
it's
a place I'd rather live than Canada.
Yeah.
But every place has flaws, and honestly, my biggest beef with some Canadians is just like the moral superiority that sometimes we kind of throw across.
Yeah.
Like, well, if you want to be mad at what Rapinoe did and what the Americans did, fine. But when you start to say, well, Canadians would never do something like that. And it's like, and in the meantime, you just saw Canadians cheering Kevin Durant when he went down with an Achilles injury. In the meantime, Canadians would never do something like that. And then you see in Vancouver in 2011, one of the worst riots that you can ever imagine after a sporting event.
That's what they do.
So, well, it's kind of what Toronto does,
and
too.
It's kind of what Montreal does, eh? Guns N' Roses not coming on the stage?
Here,
riot!
So my point is that, like, okay, should they have celebrated to that degree? No, but I think a lot of the bitterness seems to have come from Canadians, and I get it. We got a healthy rivalry with the United States, especially in women's soccer. A lot of people remember 2012 Olympics and the way that semifinal went down and in controversy, and I think there's, you know, there's a healthy dislike for the U.S. women's soccer team, and I get that, and I love the rivalry.
Of course.
But I just, it bothers me when there's this, we'd never do that. Like, hold it. We're as flawed as everybody
holier
else
than thou.
Is but on the planet. Think- so stop this moral superiority preaching, and let's just get on with it. It's annoyed me a lot in the last week, and that's kind of my biggest take about
it. Don't you think that's the whole point, though, is that if we didn't hold ourselves or put ourselves up on this ridiculous pedestal of what, then the fact that a couple of morons cheered when Kevin Durant went down,
it's more than a couple, but anyways,
there was thousands.
I don't know if I agree with that. Only in the sense that the cheering went up when they,
it was a few hundred at least.
All right, but the cheering went up when they stole the ball away and he went down. And as soon as he grabbed on to his, and clear he wasn't getting back up, it sort of died down. I think there was some
Matsutio guy, just for the record, though.
Yeah, but I'm only recently on the Raptors bandwagon.
Okay.
For whatever that's
worth. Because you listen to that crowd, even the audio of it.
But it was a huge takeaway. It's a huge. When he's going
they
off.
They were cheering Kevin Durant being down.
Honestly,
they,
when he makes that cut.
But okay.
We're not debating this, are we?
But no, but do you
not on
think,
this side of the table, we're not.
So, yeah. Do we not think that there's audio out there of Oakland booing the last time,
sure,
or cheering when Kawhi went down.
But this
Philly
isn't,
went, this is all this, I'm saying. If we don't, as Canadians go, well, we would never do, then we would never have to endure this shit, because it would just be in any crowd, there's a certain
why don't
number
we just
of
admit
assholes.
That, exactly.
And, yes, in Toronto, in Vancouver, in Philly, in Oakland, in whatever, there's a certain number of assholes, and that's just how it goes.
Well, why don't we just admit that we're not, like, we're not this...
So why
morally
are,
superior
that's my
set of
thing,
beings
though.
In Canada.
I'm,
like, yes.
I'm not willing to cede that yet, but
so
I get what you're saying.
When you watch some American women destroy an inferior opponent, I don't think anyone has no one with half a brain has a problem with them running up the score, because that's what you have to do in group play. And
because you know the Swedes are going to put it
to them. Goal differential is what it is. But I do think there's a certain amount of, when the captain of the team scores the 9-0 goal and celebrates, that's bullshit. There are other women who are scoring their first ever World Cup goal. Is that different? Do they get to celebrate? Like, where do we draw that line, right? I dreamed my whole life of getting here.
Here's the thing. Isn't sports supposed to be fun?
Yes.
Like, we talked about serious stuff earlier with World War II. Isn't sports supposed to be fun? So
But that wasn't fun for Thailand.
They're there. Who cares?
They're at the World Cup.
Like,
I think they were fine with the Americans routing them. I don't know if they loved.
But here's the thing. Like, it's supposed to be fun. That's the reality. Like, I grew up loving the Washington Redskins of the 1980s and the Fun Bunch and their celebrations. Right. And then the NFL all of a sudden became the no fun league because they wouldn't allow celebrations. And then they relented on that. And now it's a little bit different. And I guess my point is, like, I get it. I'm old school too, and I don't like it. I don't like the celebration myself. Yeah. I just think this over the top, and especially on social media, exactly.
Yep. Yep.
This over the top, everyone gets together
like
a mob of sheep, wanting to vilify something that's like, okay, did I like it? No, but like it's not like she, you know, kicked somebody or like cleats right onto, you know, onto the groin or something like that, right? I mean, so like there's far worse that could happen in a soccer game than that. So let's just continue to dislike her and the team and whatever and a healthy rivalry and move on, as if like this is like, to me, it's wasting far too much energy.
So way too much energy.
Right. Okay. And you know what? And we will wrap this up. But to me, the Wombat issue where she's saying that wouldn't happen.
The whole gender thing is a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
That's
this is not
because
a sex
you're right.
Thing.
And it's a huge slap in the face of actual gender issues.
Yeah.
People actually would have the same reaction if a men's team did it.
Go
away, Abby, see you later.
No.
And now the flip side,
can't move the goalpost there.
Yeah, the flip side of that too is, and her name escapes me, former Canadian player who's doing
the TSN.
Kaylin Kyle. Would you have in a men's show, and you do a pile of stuff pre and post games, where she said, "I just wanted to go and hug all those Thai women." Would that ever happen in a men's game?
I want to go Anze Kopitar and the
San Marino
Slovenian
guys.
Women.
I want to go and hug each and every one of them after that. And he's, I'm not sure. What are you doing here? You're muddy in the water with a bunch of different things.
No, it's true. I think if we're gonna do this, you know, women's sports needs to be presented like men's sports, and you're ever going to see Jeremy
Roenick
say, I want to go and hug whoever. Right, the Blues just eliminated.
I feel bad about that. Yes.
All right. Why don't we move along? Unless you got anything else to say on KD, we'll jump on to onto the CFL. AJ, of course, the voice of the Ottawa Red Blacks, headed out to Calgary for Week 1. I don't think the CFL is going to be particularly pumped about the Thursday night season kickoff up against the Raptors, as they're doing record numbers this year. Why don't we start with what the Red Blacks have gone through? I want to talk about the league in more general terms, but the Red Blacks have lost some key pieces. There's some arguments to be made that maybe they've lost them at the right time, that maybe you move along when it's time to move into some younger players. But it's been a fascinating offseason for the Red Blacks. Are you optimistic about what this season, you know, should look like for Ottawa?
Well, I'm more optimistic than some of the media members across the country, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know what? I wasn't sure if I was going to go on a bit of a diatribe about this, but I am.
And that a point. Take it and run.
Here's the thing. So I've been doing this. This is, my sixth year of truly covering the CFL as a broadcaster. I've been a fan since the early 1980s in Edmonton, growing up right at the tail end of the Eskimos dynasty, having won 5 straight Grey Cups with, you know, Warren Moon at quarterback and Tom Wilkinson and Jim Germany.
I was going to say, love Jim Germany.
Dave Fennell and Tommy Scott and Brian Kelly and Dan Kepley and Dave Cutler and Larry Highbaugh and that group. So I've been a fan of the Canadian Football League for a long time, but you know, this is 6 years now that
I've been
covering the sport day to day. And so in 2014, they were a 2-16 team that basically, you know, they're probably a better team than 2-16, but their offense was so bad, like historically bad.
Yeah.
The worst offense that you've seen in the CFL in 35 years that they lost all these close football games, like the 7-5 game in the monsoon against BC.
I was there. The
10-8 game against Edmonton when they fumbled inside the 10, Matt Carter in that game. So they had all these like crazy games where they were close. I think 10 of those 16 losses were by 8 points or less, but they just couldn't get it done because their offense was woefully inept and almost historically inept, the worst offense in the CFL in 35 years. So then they come back the next year and they're 12-6 and they surprised everyone, myself included. And they had this great run and 2nd-25. Yeah. And you know, I'll bring Hamilton into this because this Hamilton's going to play a part in what I'm talking about.
Are they ever.
And so, of course, Zach Caleros, before he goes down to injury that year, was lighting up the league and was probably at that point the MOP of the league.
On his way to a $400,000 contract.
And so Zach Caleros is getting all these plaudits and then he goes down and that, you know, you talk about KD. I mean, you just hate to see anyone get injured where, you know, especially someone that's playing on top of their game, right? You want to see everyone be healthy. That's not the reality of sports, but especially you want to see the star players play and be healthy because it's good for the sport. You want to see the best players play. And unfortunately, Zach Caleros goes down and it was like this window of opportunity in particular for an Ottawa team that just continued to get better, especially in the second half of the season. And Hank won MOP and they beat Hamilton, and maybe they were fortunate to beat Hamilton, but they beat Hamilton on 2nd-25 and losing the Grey Cup. And then all we heard after 2015 was, well, if Zach Caleros wouldn't have gone down, Hamilton wins. And Hamilton should have won the East Final. But the reality is they didn't.
Right.
So then you go to 2016, and they were 8-9-1. Tech, I like to call that team 8-8-1 because they were 8-8-1, and then they got to the last game of the year, and they sat everybody. Yes. So who cares about the last game of the year? They were 8-8-1, and then they beat Edmonton in the Eastern Final in the snow. Love and then that. All I heard from people around the league, all these so-called experts, was that, oh, well, if you know, Ottawa only won because of the snow.
Like over Edmonton.
Meantime, both teams played in the snow, but oh, because of the snow, Ottawa won.
Right.
And I'm thinking, well, that's a load of crap. But anyways, and I argued with people, and then I argued with people, Grey Cup week in 2016 – like, not only did I, well, no, that the year before I had the bad voice because of 2nd-25, but 2016, I argued with people nonstop in the media room there. They were basically thinking I was a big dummy and a Red Blacks homer because I said, you know what, this team can win. And they're, oh, come on, you're just being a stupid homer. And all that was basically the response of all these people that I'm hanging out with in the Grey Cup media room. And so, nonetheless, I ended up making pretty good money that week because I didn't even pick Ottawa to win the game. I picked Ottawa to beat the spread.
Yeah. The spread, that's
and I'm not normally one of those guys that does that, but I won like well over $100 that week just picking Ottawa to beat the spread because I knew that they outgained Calgary that game too. It wasn't that like that game was a fluke and it was smoke and mirrors. Like the next year, Calgary, I think, outgained Toronto in the snow in Ottawa by like 200 yards. And somehow, because pulled of a couple out. Of plays, the Argos ended up winning that game. But the Grey Cup in 2016, Ottawa deserved to win that game. They were the better team. They outplayed them. They outgained, and I get that you don't win a game based on net offense. They don't put net offense on the scoreboard. But they outgained 17 of their 19 opponents that year, other than the game that didn't matter. at the end of the year. So they were basically 17-2 in net offense in games that mattered. That was not an 8-9-1 team. That was a good football team that had a lot of different events that kind of conspired to they pissed away games. They lost games they shouldn't. They had injuries to the quarterback position, both quarterbacks, both Trevor Harris and Henry Burris. They had this kind of – both of them got benched at various times of the year. It was a crazy year. But by the end, they were as good a football team as Calgary. I contend if they play the 2015 Grey Cup against the Eskimos 10 times, they're going to lose that 9 times out of 10.
Right.
They play that 2016 Grey Cup 10 times, they're probably – going to win 4, 5, or 6 games. And I know the dummies in the media that like to crap on me, the condescending know-it-alls that don't have a clue, those guys would think I'm an idiot. But they think they do not give – where I'm going with this is the Ottawa Redblacks do not get the respect that they deserve. And I'll flash forward to 2018 because 2017, they were every bit as mediocre as 8-9-1 showed. But in 2018, and look, at 6-5, you know, their offense wasn't that great last year at 6-5, and they're frustrating, and they lost games to Montreal, and they lost games to Toronto. And like Ottawa's the only team in the playoffs, I think they're the only team in the league that lost to all three non-playoff teams.
Right.
Yeah. So they were a frustrating team, especially on offense. But they got it rolling down the stretch, and they make the playoffs, and they go to the Grey Cup. And I was reading this week, some people were saying, oh, well, Hamilton was arguably the best team in the East last year. And I'm thinking, arguably the best team in the East? Hold it. What East did I watch last year where Ottawa played Hamilton 4 times and beat Hamilton 4 times? Like, what East were you watching that Hamilton was arguably the best team in the East? They were 4-0 against the Ticats. They smoked them in the fourth game. Everyone talks, oh, it's tough to beat a team 3 times. Oh, it's really tough to beat a team 4 times. Well, they did it. So, like, go stuff it, all you clowns that don't have a clue, that don't watch games east of Toronto, apparently, because apparently they don't watch Montreal as well, because I've seen numerous people picking the Alouettes to finish ahead of the Red Blacks this year. I understand why you've got players, guys like Antoine Pruneau and so on and so forth, that have been here since day one, that throw up their arms and they say, like, when are we ever going to get respect here as a football team? I'm the broadcaster. I'm an unbiased homer, and I think I live that... I live up to that. I want Ottawa to win, but I can call things as I see it. When the Ottawa Senators suck, as they have the last couple of years, we're gonna call them on it. When, you know, I was frustrated with Nikola Popovich last year, the Fury FC coach, and now he's come in a different guy, loving what they're doing here right now. But I called them out on that. So like, I'm not afraid to.
No.
Basically stir things up, even against the home team, if I don't like what I'm seeing. But what I don't understand is this. You've got 4 head coaches that are back from their teams a year ago.
At AJ on Sports on Twitter, loved when you put this out a couple days ago. Take it.
So you've got Edmonton with Jason Moss. You've got Winnipeg with Mike O'Shea. You've got Calgary with Dave Dickinson. And you've got Ottawa with Rick Campbell. And with Rick and Marcel Desjardins, that's the only group since Ottawa came into the league, along with Winnipeg. And if you even go a year later and you add the Dickinson-Hufnagel combination, those are the 3 coach GM combinations. Yep. And guess what? Look at Ottawa, Winnipeg, and Calgary the last 4 years.
Pretty good.
And what are you going to see? Well, you're going to see continuity. You're going to see stability. And you're going to see a good foundation. And what a lot of people don't realize when they look at this Ottawa team, yes, they lost some really good players. Yep. Trevor Harris, William Powell, Sir Vincent Rogers, Greg Ellingson, Deontay Spencer to the NFL and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lost Rico Murray. They lost some really good football players. But what you're going to see this weekend is of the 24 starters, 22 of these starters were Ottawa Redblacks last year. They're not rookies, they're not free agents. Like, Ottawa looked, the game in Montreal against an Alouettes team where somehow some people think that the Alouettes are going to be better than the Ottawa Redblacks. And I hope at some point that it's going to happen that they're competitive again, but it's not happening this year as far as what I see. Not when you fire your head coach a week before the season. You don't even know who's going to be owning the team. Like, it's not going to happen. So I guess what I'm saying is you had some guys that went in there against their starters, rookies that had never played in the CFL and looked really good. And guess what? Some of those guys can play, but they're on the practice roster right now. Guys like DeAndre Ferris, and I love John Crockett, and I wanted to see him on the opening day roster. But the reality is he's not there because they've got veterans that they think they can win with here. And what has Calgary done? All they've done is lose guys, and they keep, and you keep thinking they're going to take a step back, but no, they build from within. They have good football players. They keep them, they keep continuity. They keep the same systems. You plug guys in and you do well. So look, are there question marks with this Ottawa team? Sure. Can they go with five Canadian O-linemen? We'll wait and see. How is Dominic Davis going to be? Is he going to be as good as Trevor Harris? I don't know if he's going to be as good, but he provides a different dimension. Yeah. Certainly provides more athleticism, going to be able to escape out of the pocket a little bit better. And I like what I've seen, and he's passed every test here. So I see a defense that has 11 starters that was top three in the league last year. Defense can win you a lot of football games. There's more questions on offense, but this team isn't going to be as bad as all these people that are caught. I don't care. You know what? There's people that I'm friends with, guys like Derek Taylor, voice of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, my pal Carlos Verde of the CFL. They're good people. You know what? You want to pick Montreal, so be it. I think it's a dumb pick, but whatever. You're still good people. Yeah. But they're not the ones I'm talking about. It's the condescending people that like make it sound like you are just stupid and you're just a stupid homer. No, I've been around things.
Are they Western Raiders?
I know where, like, having been around Don Horwood, who won three national championships at the University of Alberta basketball, having been around Dave Smart, who is the best and most winningest coach in the history of basketball in this country and the history of university of sports, having been around guys like Perry Pern, who built this college powerhouse in Edmonton and won six national championships there, where they were playing in the ACAC against the University of Alberta, the most successful men's hockey program in the history of this country, and they were like basically neck and neck for who was the best program even in Edmonton. Been around, you know, Brian Kilray and his dynasties here, seen Bob Green and Mark Habscheid and Bruce Hamilton build quality teams from within in Kelowna and Edmonton with the Oil Kings, and I've seen it here in the last couple of years with the Ottawa 67s as well, with James Boyd and Andre Tourney, with Mark DeSantos and the Ottawa Fury, and also with Rick Campbell and Marcel Desjardins. I know what a good culture is. I know what a winning culture is. And, you know, even when you lose players, if you do things the right way and build from within, you're going to have success. These guys are going to bring success here. And whether this team takes a step back and wins 8 or 9 games this year, or just keeps on trucking and wins 11 or 12 games, I don't know. That's probably the window, but they're not going to go out and go 4-14 here. Like just being around it, you know, there's a quiet confidence. And this team, that's my roundabout way of saying this team's going to be better than people think.
Man, okay.
I told you I added something on my mind.
Honestly, man.
Bring more passion.
Exactly. If I had about 5 questions set up, and you've torched 4.5 of them in that.
What's your other half question?
It comes down to, you've run through everything. I wanted to ask you about Marcel Desjardins, his take on it, on he's happy with his Canadians, and that O-line with, are they going to be able to protect the quarterbacks? But again, you've covered, you've went through all that. I think they ran, other than Servie, they ran mostly with Canadians on the O-line last year too, right?
So I'll talk about the O-line here just briefly, because I do think, and look, if you were to ask me, because I don't care if a team's 18-0, you're still going to have questions about a team, right?
For sure.
And what do you say about the Tampa Bay Lightning this year, or the Detroit Red Wings in 96, or the Patriots when they went 16-0, or the Stampeders the year that Ottawa beat them in 2016, and all these people in the media room are still calling me a clown because I didn't think they were going to get blown out, and so on and so forth. Seattle Mariners, you can go throughout history. Golden State Warriors when they won 73 and lost to Cleveland. So even if you're the best team – in the history of the regular season, all those teams didn't win. So there's going to be question marks everywhere. That's the reality of sports. So here's my biggest question mark is, for sure, it's the O-line, and in particular, it's the tackles, right? Because you got a two-time All-Star center in Alex Mateus. Evan Johnson, Nolan McMillan, if McMillan's healthy, and he says this is as healthy as he's been since year one. So that's a good thing. I think you're set there. You got a guy like Alex Fontana that everyone says was basically the most CFL-ready to play. Like, he'd probably, if he would have been drafted next by Calgary, a lot of people were saying the Stampeders were going to pick him, he probably would have gone right on to start on that offensive line. But here, with, you know, behind a Mateus and behind this group,
yeah,
he'll probably do what a lot of the other rookies have done and be the number six and get his opportunity whenever it comes. So let's look at the tackles, though, because here's the thing. I mean, Sir Vincent Rogers has been one of the best left tackles in the league since he's arrived in Ottawa the last 4 years. And Josue Mateus stabilized things on the right side for Ottawa last year, and I think that's part of the concern, and that's part of my concern for sure. We've seen Jason Lauzon-Sagan, when he's good, what he can do. He can be solid there. Jason Lauzon-Sagan had a struggle last year, and that's part of the reason why he was replaced by Mateus, and the rest is history. The O-line was a little bit better. With Mark Cordy, I feel a little bit better talking to some people back home in Edmonton, because he was a first-round pick out of the University of Alberta. And one of the things I asked, so Mark Cordy started 2017, all eight games, left tackle. And it's like, how was he? Well, the guy who won the Heck Crichton was running behind him. So that's kind of how he was. Yeah. So this is a guy that played left tackle at university in Edmonton at the University of Alberta, and had terrific success with Ed Ilnicki running behind him, winning the Heck Crichton Trophy. So there's some pedigree there. He had his year to come in. He put on some weight. Like, he was, I think, 292, 293. He's over 300 now. He's like 302, 303, somewhere in that range. Let's see what he can do, right? I think everyone wants to vilify before we even see a game here. Let's see what Mark Cordy can do at left tackle. And if it's a problem, then, you know, you got to go out and figure things out. But the thing that I like, let's say left tackle is a problem. Let's say right tackle is a problem. You've got Antoine Pruneau. You've got the three guys that I mentioned in Mateus, McMillan, and Johnson. You've got Brad Sinopoli. And you've got Mike Claussen. So there's six Canadian starters right there. Like, if you need to replace one tackle,
right,
you can go one American and then you're fine. Yeah, sure, if you need to replace both tackles, well, now all of a sudden you've got, if you're talking about a second skill position Canadian, you've got Nate Behar, you've got Julian Fioli-Godino, Jacob Scarfone looked pretty good in that last preseason game. Yeah. You've got Marco Dubois, who's a year older and also caught some balls in the preseason and looked pretty decent. You've got J.C. Beaulieu, who's your starting fullback. You've got Brendan Gallanders, who's, you know, right now your number two running back. So any of those guys is an option for kind of that second skill position Canadian, where if you need to go American on both sides, you can easily do that and plug one of those other guys in, and you're not going to lose much. So the fact that they've got so much depth, I think, in Canadian talent gives them the option to go Canadian at first. And if it doesn't work, then you can adjust. But it's not the end of the world if this doesn't work in week one. And one last thing on this. I mean, I know in 2016, you think about the Grey Cup year, and you think about Sir Vincent Rogers, again, one of the best O-linemen in the league, going down to injury. And their O-line had some struggles that year. In 2015, they were really good. But in 2016, you know, kind of like the team, their O-line, you know, took a little bit of a beating in some circles of the fan base. And all of a sudden, things got better down the stretch, even without Sir Vincent Rogers, when Tommy Draheim was at left tackle. And you're thinking, well, it's not like Draheim's better than Sir V. Like, why are they playing better? So I remember going and asking some people close to the team, like, why is this better? And it was like, well, the reality is, it's Hank.
Right.
You've got a different quarterback in there. I think Trevor Harris is a guy, that when Trevor Harris has time, I think he's the best quarterback in the league. But when Trevor Harris doesn't have time, like, there's not as much improvisation there. You've got two guys now, and let's just focus on Dominic Davis. You've got one guy, but you've got a backup as well, and Jonathan Jennings has got experience. You've got guys that if things break down, they can improvise. They can make a play out of nothing. And look, you don't want Dominic Davis running for his life. You want the old line to, to be able to create a pocket where he can feel comfortable. And you know, that's the first option. He's a guy that you want to be able to say, okay, he's going to kind of go through his reads on offense, just like Trevor did, just like Hank did, with this offense being very similar. But at the same time, if things break down, well, maybe he can improvise and make something out of nothing. And that's some of the difference between this year and the last couple of years. And we'll see how it plays out. I'm more optimistic than most, but what do I know? I'm going to go into the media room at Grey Cup again, and all these condescending jackasses are going to call me a dummy again.
Okay, wait. I know.
It's got to be quick.
We got to wrap this up. Who will be, in sort of a more general CFL question, you listened to the CFL, the TSN panel last night with their predictions. Who is going to be, and they're very bullish on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah.
Who is going to be the starting quarterback for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers come Labor Day?
Well, I think Matt Nichols. I picked the Bombers to win last year. I'm not doing it this year because I think kind of like last year, I liked the other 23 guys. And I thought, well, you know what? Matt Nichols had a pretty good year. And he did have a pretty good year the year before.
For sure.
So maybe he's come of age and maybe, but I don't know. I'm just, you're telling me it's a big game and Matt Nichols has got to beat Mike Riley. Matt Nichols has got to beat Bo Levi Mitchell. Matt Nichols playing against, let's say if Ottawa gets to a Grey Cup and you're telling me Matt Nichols is going up against the Ottawa defense, the same group that led to him getting booed last year because he couldn't move the chains last year in Winnipeg. And when Streveler moved them down the field and they got to the red zone and Nichols was back and ready to go in, everyone booed because he didn't get anything going all game. Like, I have a hard time in the biggest game thinking, and maybe he can get it done. I think he's a top five quarterback in the league. I'd place him fifth. But I'm not convinced that he can get it done. I didn't like how he handled some of the things last year after being booed too. He was, sulking a little bit. It's like, suck it up. You're the starting quarterback. What did you expect?
Yeah, Bombers fans aren't sold on him either, I think. That's part of the problem.
I think there's right to be questions there.
Right, and that was that's the genesis of my question, yeah.
So two quick things, because we got to wrap her up here and get AJ out of here. Ton of moves. Mike Riley goes to BC. Trevor Harris to Edmonton. Bo Levi re-signs. Jeremiah Masoli is maybe in a really good position to kind of torch
the
East.
Arguably the best team in the East last year.
Yeah.
We heard that.
Yeah. Yes. How do you, I guess in two quick questions, who were you most impressed with in terms of the moves that were, because there was a ton of movement in the offseason. Who do you like coming out of the offseason in terms of what they did? And what do you see as the Grey Cup matchup? Best in the West, best in the East?
I like, I like BC because I think
BC could do. They Riley to Burnham. Is it Brendan Burnham? Is
Ryan Burnham. Burnham. You know what?
That could be interesting, man.
Look, he's not my favorite player, but how about Riley to De'Ron Carter?
Yeah.
If Carter, you know what? He's been humbled a little bit the last year.
Yep.
And I wonder if you've got Carter and Burnham, man, those are two pretty quality receivers right there. Man. Not to mention they've added some help on the O-line. Sook Chung is one of the best. And that's the thing about Winnipeg. Winnipeg lost Sook Chung and they lost Matthias Gosen, who retired.
Well, and Calgary
that's
took some
two,
heat.
Two
took
very
some hits
big
on
losses
the defense, right? Like,
on their O-line. Yeah. And as you said, Calgary. But Calgary, here's the thing about Calgary, much like Ottawa. And Calgary's been the best team in the CFL for the last decade, but certainly since Ottawa's been in the league, Calgary's by far the best team.
Right.
Edmonton, 45 wins, Ottawa 43. So even though there's a lot of people that would like to think that Ottawa is fluked out and, you know, somehow just got to all these games because they're in the East, the reality is they had two wins and two ties against Calgary. That's not bad in a four-year stretch, given how good Calgary has been. And one big win, obviously, in a Grey Cup. They have four wins against Edmonton. They're 3-1 in Winnipeg. They're 3-1 in Saskatchewan. They're 10-2 and have not lost in Hamilton since 2014. So,
wow.
Like, this is a team that the maddening thing, though, is they're 3-7 against the Argos, for example. They have two home losses against Montreal.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating thing about the Ottawa Redblacks of the last 4 years. It's like, okay, we get it. You're good playing the good teams. Like, how about you show up against some of these bottom feeders? Don't lose to every playoff team, every non-playoff team in the league.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, back to my point. I'll believe Calgary's going to take a step back when I see it, even though...
Got to show me.
Even though there's Micah Johnson and Jagerrad Davis and Alex Singleton and Siante Evans and others that are all gone from that defense. But I will pick BC. I picked Hamilton to finish first in the East. I think Ottawa's one of those teams that they tend to play better the last 10 games of the season. If they can hang in there, 3-5, 4-4, whatever, play their good football in the second half of the season, I'm not betting against Ottawa playing against Hamilton in the playoffs. So I'm going to say Ottawa against BC, and I'll take all the hate from everybody around the league that thinks I don't know squat.
That's awesome. Rob and I are both big fans. When we first started this show, AJ was a guy we badly wanted to have on. He's now been on three times on Tall Can Sports. We really appreciate it, man. Rob, anything you want to say to wrap this up?
Nope, that's perfect, man.
Yeah.
Pleasure, guys.
We wish you'd bring a little more, but...
You got me on a good day because I was fired up today. I was mad. I was just mad about some of these goofballs that I keep arguing with, but nonetheless, it's all good. It's all in good fun. It's sports, right?
Sure,
that's the thing. It's like I get passionate, but in the end, it's sports. It's fun. Yeah. You have a beer, you get mad at each other, and then you laugh and you have another beer. That's the way it is, right?
Well, and we love that you bring a variety of things. And for those of who only see you in the sporting vein, clearly a man with more on his mind than just sports.
Travel, man. I love travel.
Absolutely.
Now you guys, you've got me fired up about my next trip.
So. Well, we love that, man. I hope you'll come back and talk to us about that one, too.
Will do.
It's at AJ on Sports on Twitter. He is, of course, the voice of the Ottawa Redblacks on TSN 1200. You can follow him there. Follow the Redblacks all season long. We'll, of course, be back here following along as we do at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, at Tall Can Audio on Instagram, and of course facebook.com/tallcanaudio. We'll catch you all on the next episode of Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
We're not gonna be fucking sucked this year. Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.